When the Lib Dems were in conference a year ago, Lehman Brothers collapsed in New York, bringing the financial system of the world close to the brink. Vince Cable was a star of that week, a Lib Dem spokesman on economics, good enough to be quoted on all the TV bulletins. Well, he's back here in a quieter week, we hope, speaking today about election policy and cuts, which have hovered over this conference as they will over the Tory and Labour in weeks to come. How are they going to cut? How are they going to do it? Nick Clegg seemed to be going further than Vince over the weekend. We'll hear from Cable today, and our chief political correspondent, Nick Watt, has got a flavour of what he may say.
Well, I'm standing on the seafront at Bournemouth, and the Liberal Democrats are waiting for one of the main moments of their party conference, and indeed, I think we can say one of the main moments of the entire British party conference season, that is the speech by Vince Cable. Now, normally, a speech by the Liberal Democrat Treasury spokesman is not one of the great British highlights, but it is here, because Vince Cable, of course, is the man who predicted the recession really better than anyone else. So we all listen. Everyone listens to what he says with enormous care. And I think his speech to the conference today is going to be pretty tough for this party, because it's not that long ago that this party thought really the way to go about things was to tax and to spend. That used to be associated with old Labour. 10 years ago, it was associated with the Liberal Democrats. Those days are over. Vince Cable and Nick Clegg are saying the public finances are in an utterly dire position. We have to be honest with people. We have to level with people and say that times are going to be tough. And one of the main things that Vince Cable is going to outline today is he's going to say that there should be a freeze of the entire public sector pay budget. That would save £2.4 billion a year and would be pretty tough for public sector workers. Now, what he will say is this won't mean pay freezes across the board. What he will say is the budget will be frozen, and within that, hopefully, you could direct pay increases at the lower paid by trimming the wages of the better paid public sector workers. And this will be particularly interesting about where this places the Liberal Democrats in the political spectrum, because this is the Liberal Democrats saying we will go further than Labour, and significantly we, the Liberal Democrats, who were once seen as the most left-wing party, will go further in cuts than the Tories, which is quite a position to be in. And Nick Clegg and Vince Cable, they really see David Cameron as a bit of a poser. David Cameron tried to love bomb them over the weekend, and they're saying, well, he's talked about cuts, hasn't outlined any plans. We're not only talking about them, we're outlining some pretty clear plans.
Nick Watt there on Vince Cable. Now, on Sunday, remarks by David Cameron, the Tory leader, trying to cosy up to Lib Dems and probably to their voters, didn't go down well at all in the conference hall.
Nick, how will our party reply to the Conservatives' overtures to attract Liberal votes and thereby make clear the differences between us and the Conservatives?
I think it's relatively simple. We all know we want change. The country wants change, right? That bit's clear. We all know that Labour's run out of road, knackered, exhausted, hollowed out. They seem to be always crying out for a kind of relief of opposition. So we all know that the country wants a change. So the question then is, what's change? And ask people, do you trust the change offered to you by David Cameron? And I would say it's kind of difficult to trust the change he's offering. He talks about a broken Britain, and then their only tax policies are a great big tax break for the super rich. Talk about, as we've said earlier, looking after the environment and then club together with climate change deniers in Europe. Talk about a new politics and won't even tell you whether their principal donors pay full British taxes in this country or not. Talk about how the Conservatives are going to responsibly deal with the structural fiscal deficit, and the most eye-catching idea is putting up the price of salads in the House of Commons.
While all that was happening, I stopped some of the delegates in the hall, and Somerset MP David Heath as well, to ask whether there was really more and a cigarette paper between them and the Tories.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. We're a completely different party with completely different principles. Cameron, well, it's just like Nick Clegg was saying last night, Cameron put the con back in Conservative. We don't believe he's going to keep the promises he's making. The Liberal Democrats will keep the promises. We believe in what we're saying, and we believe in change.
What's the difference? When you think of that, what's the big policy difference? Is it economics, civil liberties, environment?
Definitely the environment. And like the Greenpeace, they rated us the most green party out of all of them. Our economic policies are completely different. What George Osborne, compared to what Vince Cable is proposing, is absolutely completely different.
My colleagues from The Guardian, we're asking people, when David Cameron says, not a cigarette paper between me and Nick Clegg, it probably makes you cross. Why?
Because it's not true, because they've got an appalling record on civil liberties. They voted for the Iraq War. They haven't got the policy we have about 15 children per primary school class, and so on and so on.
I think the Lib Dems have got real values, and they've got things they really believe in, and I can't see that with... they're things like liberty, the core, the ideas behind children, and the belief in children, the belief in children's development, and access and opportunity for children, which was mentioned yesterday.
What makes you think Cameron, all the trouble he's been through with his own family losing it, doesn't he believe in children?
I wouldn't say he doesn't believe in them, but it doesn't come clear to me as a key policy objective. You know, it's not really obvious to me, and perhaps I don't know enough about his policy, and perhaps I don't know enough about the Conservatives, but it's not loud and clear, and I work in education, and children are very important to me.
When David Cameron says there's not a cigarette paper between him and Nick Clegg, what's your reaction, David Heath?
My reaction is that there certainly have been a massive cigarette papers between the Conservatives and us over the years, and if they are masquerading at the moment as Liberal Democrats, then so be it. But it is literally paper thin, and the reality is that it's the same old Tory party under different colours.
What do you think of immediately when you try to differentiate between you and the Tories at the moment?
I think there's a whole lot of instinctive things. I mean, I cannot take seriously a party which is now proclaiming its opposition to ID cards but voted for them. I can't take seriously a party which says that the answer to the enormous fiscal deficit we've got is to increase the price of salads in the House of Commons bar rather than look at matters such as Trident. You know, there are real serious issues where the Tories simply aren't in the argument.
So why is he saying it?
Because he wants to make sure that as many people as possible are confused into thinking that they can safely vote Conservative. After the election, the veneer will come off.
And it's Liberal Dem voters he wants to get back, isn't it?
It's Liberal Democrat votes who are genuine Liberal Democrat votes who they think they can dislodge by saying that, you can afford to do this because really there's no difference. Unfortunately, the reality is, look at the way Conservative councils behave, look at the way that Conservatives in government behave. There is a world of difference between the two.
Who controls the local authority in your part of the West Country?
The Conservatives.
And how does the local party, how does Cameron go down in your constituency?
Well, look, I'm going to say this is going to sound terribly yokelish and very Somerset.
Oh, go on,
but,
do it anyway.
But, I have to say it anyway. I mean, I think country people can spot a fake. They're swatting a fake.
Now, while David Heath was speaking then, the noise level rose in the background because Nick Clegg has just finished doing a Q&A, very articulate he was too, in the main conference hall, very crowded, and unusually crowded, I must say, for the first day of, or second day, strictly speaking, of a Lib Dem conference on a Sunday afternoon. It's normally half full. It was full today. They've all poured out. But we think the Oxford scientist and militant atheist, Professor Richard Dawkins, is talking in there at the moment. So maybe it's a vote for faith, or maybe it's just that people want a cup of tea.
It's a lamentable observation that because of the way our laws are skewed towards the plaintiff, London has become the libel capital of the world. Litigants are coming to England from another country to sue people who live in a third country over a book that was published in a fourth country, the excuse being that a handful of books were also sold here. A nice little round-the-world jaunt for lawyers it may be, but sensible or liberal it is not, nor is it just. Of course there must be redress if you are maliciously attacked in a way that damages you. But if such a law is cast too wide, it has disastrous consequences on the public interest, not least in the area of science and medicine, where the stakes are high, profits and reputations are guarded jealously, and the vulnerable need to be protected from unproven or fraudulent claims for cures, whether by alternative therapists or big pharmaceuticals.
Professor Richard Dawkins there. Afterwards, I caught up with Evan Harris, MP for Oxford West, and asked him whether Dawkins was a constituent of his as well as a fellow sceptic.
Well, I'm a secularist. I believe in separation of religion and the state. I don't really mind what people believe in. He is a constituent, and he tells me he votes for me, but then everyone says to an MP that they vote for him. And he's being given permission to introduce an amendment today for us to adopt policies to reform our libel laws, because London's the libel capital of the world, and a lot of dodgy people from abroad come to sue journalists in London when they shouldn't have that right.
But he's the man who's interested in this, if I've got this right, the science angle of laws of libel, not pop stars and crooked businessmen. He says this inhibits scientific debate. Have I got that right?
That's right, that's part of it. But the campaign for reform of the libel law, which I've been involved in, is not just about science, although we need to have room to discuss evidence, the evidence base for things, without vested interests, whether they be pharmaceutical companies or alternative practitioners suing people who criticise them for their lack of evidence.
Like Ben Goldacre, the Guardian's bad science man, taken to the doors of the High Court last year by some quack doctor from South Africa who bottled out at the last moment.
Yeah, and indeed, using the words like quack doctor are the... sorts of things that in this country create worry, because you get letters. Even if you eventually win the case, you lose, because you're usually thousands of pounds down and it's a year of your life gone. The Guardian's been a real victim of this, actually, with Tesco and with the unsuccessful attempt on Ben Goldacre. So it is important. This is wider than science. It's wider than journalism, and that's why the campaign is supported by authors and entertainers as well.
Well, quite a lively first full day of the Liberal Democrat conference there. It can be a bit quiet, but no, we've had Ed Davey, the foreign affairs spokesman, telling us that even the Taliban and Mr. Karzai are all moving in the direction of Lib Dem policy. They're talking about coalition. Not sure if he's right about that, but he did say it. And Tavish Scott said that, contrary to what Nick Clegg wants to do, cut those middle-class benefits like child benefit, tax credit. That wicked SNP administration in Scotland is giving the middle-class and the upper classes in Scotland £1 billion worth of perks. That's care for the elderly and free prescriptions, that sort of thing. Plenty of excitement going on here. And the weather's been not half bad. Between now and talking to you again tomorrow, I plan to go into the sea. I'll report back.